Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. President Donald Trump arrives in South Dakota Friday, the same night of the much-publicized fireworks display at Mount Rushmore. However, Trump supporters are already gathering today for speaking events and fundraisers that lead up to Friday's fireworks. This weekend, by the way, not without its dissenters. There are those who fear the fireworks show will turn into nothing more than a political rally. Tribes point out that Mount Rushmore is a desecration of a sacred mountain. People have environmental concerns, wildfire concerns, and of course there is the current pandemic. It's a lot to think about, but fortunately we've got time to talk with the Dakota Political Junkies today. John Schaff is a professor of political science at Northern State University in Aberdeen. Welcome back, John.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Also with us, John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. John Hunter, welcome. Thanks for being here as well.
Thanks, Lori. Glad to be here.
All right, let's start with this 4th of July excitement and its ensuing controversy, of course, because this is a celebration like no other. It's also an election year and the year of a global pandemic. John Hunter, we're learning more about who all is coming. And I understand we've had some last-minute cancellations as the Pennington County Republican Party is saying Kellyanne Conway and Donald Trump Jr. are not going to be at some of the events that they had hoped that they would be able to be at. So situation is still very much in flux. But it's about more than just the fireworks. It's a presidential visit with lots attached to it. John Hunter, go ahead and start off with what we know about what this is kind of turning into and what people are concerned about.
Well, there are so many different facets to it, Lori. As you described in the intro there, anywhere from, kind of celebration of the nation's independence to a political rally in a presidential election year, environmental concerns, fire concerns, pandemic concerns, all those, you're not really sure somehow where to start. But I think it's completely understandable that 4 or 5 months away from a presidential election that almost any trip that a president takes is going to involve some sort of, or the challenger, Joe Biden, mm-hmm. any appearance that he makes will have campaign implications. And I think the Republicans in Pennington County are trying to use that as for all it's worth and try to get a kind of a several days worth of rallies that would be both kind of fundraising and vote awareness kinds of things. So I don't think it's really out of character for what presidents have done, incumbents have done in re-election years. But we're not really used to it. We've had a lot of presidents visit South Dakota, yes, but they don't come here every year. And so we're just trying to get a handle on this. My guess is that, Lori, it's still going to be in flux and that as we get closer to the day, we'll see other changes in the schedule.
Yeah. I'm going to reveal my bias right now is how much I hate traffic. So every time we talk about this, all the first thing that pops up in my mind that I have to push down is like getting stuck in traffic because that's my nightmare. It's my personal nightmare. And they're saying, bring
bias.
Water. Yeah, plan for going to the bathroom. Like if I'm going to be in my car for 3 hours, how am I going to plan for going to the bathroom? So that's my mind just turns on the traffic problem. But it's about a lot more than traffic. So John Schaff, let's bring you into the conversation because former state Senator Stan Adelstein, retired and from District 32, has talked about, what he hopes the president will say, but then also brings in this concept of who's paying for all this and who should pay for what if it's a celebration for the country, who pays for what if it's a presidential visit, and who pays for campaign rallies. Tell us a little bit about what we're talking about here, John Schaff, with parsing out the money.
Yeah, well, I think what John Hunter just said is that there's a tradition or some continuity here with the past. It's always difficult when you have an incumbent running for re-election, whether it's a president or anybody else, to separate official duties from campaign duties, which is which. And surely a president of the United States going to Mount Rushmore or in this case, the day before Independence Day, is something that is completely presidential, and this is in the commonly understood role of the president. But what the Trump people have done is they've surrounded that event with some political activity, And I think what Stan Alstein is, what his letter suggests, and in a way, what Stan Alstein is suggesting is he's nervous that a politician might act like a politician. I think we can expect that the president is going to try to score some points. So I think he's getting at something. If people could look up kind of this open letter, this press release that Mr. Edelson put out, is that I think we all know the tendencies of Donald Trump's rhetoric. And if we've ever seen any of his rallies, there he takes a particular joy and attacking his enemies, the people he perceives as his opponents, usually pretty accurately perceive them as his opponents, but nonetheless attacking his opponents. And at something that is, you would hope, on Independence Day weekend at Mount Rushmore would be a unifying event, and it seems like the country needs some unifying more than is typical, more than we usually do. I think Mr. Adelson is right to be at least anxious about the president using this for more crudely political purposes than what is inevitably it's going to be somewhat political. And whether that means the state should be reimbursed by the Trump campaign or not, I think we're never going to. Yeah, I doubt that's going to happen simply because, like I say, the ability to differentiate between what is the president officially doing and what is the campaign event is difficult to determine. And if the president's at Mount Rushmore around the 4th of July, I guess it's going to be a presidential thing. I doubt we're going to get reimbursed for it.
Yeah. John Schaff, there is, I think, a collective holding of breath when we think about the crowd size and compare it to the president's mood as well, because this is the 4th of July. He's in South Dakota. We've got the fireworks. This was a big, this is very important to him to get done. If he gets the full 7,500 people, if it turns out there's a great turnout, he might be joyous and ready to say one thing. And if it turns out that the K-pop fans or it turns out that the crowd is very small for some reason, he could be really in despair, and we could have a very, very different president. So there's questions about what exactly he will say, because this president likes to go off that teleprompter and say whatever is on his heart at that moment as well. I don't know if John Schaff, but
I think what Stan Alston said in his letter is apropos. Is that one hopes that the circumstance and his surroundings will inspire the president to elevate his rhetoric above what it typically is at one of his campaign rallies that he likes to hold, one of these big auditorium or big stadium rallies that he usually, he generates a lot of energy from crowds. And as you say, Lori, he's a guy who's not bound by the teleprompter for good and for ill oftentimes. And so I think one can only hope that given the location, given the timing around the 4th of July, that the president can show a little bit more than his typical rhetorical discipline. But yes, he's a mercurial fellow. And so one never knows what one's going to get out of Donald Trump. But he's had occasions, I think, where he's been able to rise to the occasion, and he can kind of control that Trumpian id that sometimes takes over. And let's hope this is one of those times. Because I think the country could use it.
Yeah. John Hunter, there have been some grumblings among the South Dakota press corps talking about really getting in to cover this event. I know for South Dakota Public Broadcasting, we asked for 4 reporters or videographers to be there covering it. We were granted 1 person, which makes it very difficult to cover an event fully with just 1 reporter on the ground. Kind of hearing behind the scenes stuff about some challenges other news organizations are having. Is this a new thing that the local media or the local media would be kind of shut out? And that's not fair to say they're not being shut out, but there would be these kinds of challenges to really even gain access to this event at Mount Rushmore.
It's a good question, and we did not request credentials, so I'm not familiar with this particular one. But I would guess that in a kind of a Washington press corps thing, the president has clearly said he at times certain organizations are not welcome there, which is kind of not a traditional thing in America. I doubt if they'd make those kind of determinations and saying the Rapid City Journal is good and the Black Hills Pioneer is bad and try to exclude them. So, I don't know of any exclusion because of influence. Maybe they just decided with a smaller crowd that we have a smaller press corps as well.
Let's talk about that crowd a little bit, John Hunter, and I'll start with you because 7,500 tickets, Governor Noem has said, if you're not comfortable with this, you can go ahead and stay home. We're not going to practice any particular social distancing. It's an outdoor event, and there's masks available for everyone. We trust people's personal responsibility. And John Hunter, Dusty Johnson, was on our show yesterday, and I watched him on Fox News. I watched him on talking to Chris Cuomo on CNN last night when somebody texted me and said, turn on your TV. it's Dusty. And very much talking about holding up his mask and saying, yes, you need to wear these masks, but no, we're not going to force you to do it. And Chris Cuomo saying, why not make it mandatory? And Dusty saying, we really don't have to. So let's talk about the size of the crowd and the pandemic a little bit. What's at stake here? Going into this with sort of the optics of how we are processing the pandemic nationwide?
Well, we talked, of course, you've had a lot of guests talking about the difference, I think, between South Dakota and other places, the fact that we have, you know, we don't have kind of crowded buses and trains and other such things that really have encouraged the spread. So in some degrees, I think different locations require different rules. Now, that being said, I'm not aware of any crowd above a very small number having gathered in South Dakota since early March when state basketball tournaments were just getting underway and then kind of called off. So, you know, if you look back at the Tulsa rally, which then had some kind of hotspot elements to it, that certainly could happen here. I think South Dakota's success so far is the fact that we have not had any kind of mass gatherings, festivals, those sorts of things, concerts, sporting events, and so on. So I think we can only measure that after the fact, and you'll see if there is a hot spot. And of course, I think the 7,500 tickets are probably not all West River. They're probably distributed all over the state, so if the virus attaches itself, it may not be localized. But I don't think we'll know that. And I think both I would encourage every safe practice that you could in this kind of thing. We'll look maybe 14 days from now and see what happens.
John Schaaf, a couple things it seems to me from going over the CDC guidelines for large events this morning. The event outdoor at Mount Rushmore has going for it, and number one is that it is outdoors and that those face masks are, we are told, widely available. So people, it's going to be very easy for people to use them. And like John Hunter said, we've got limited public transportation. I'm not saying there are no buses going there, but in general, not everybody's going to get there via the subway, which goes back to my original problem with traffic. But and then some of the things going,
don't try
you know,
to get
working.
A burger and Keystone on Friday.
Don't go. No. Keystone businesses, I read in the journal this morning, are ready to go. So we'll see. But no, that would not be for me. Their employees are being asked to leave for work a couple hours early so that they get there.
Yep.
Working against it seems to be this idea that there's no social distancing kind of, you know, in place, and that clear the size, it's one of the highest risk events because the number of people are coming. And then what also John Hunter said, that people are traveling from other areas. The second highest state that was requesting tickets was from California, which is clearly having major problems with an outbreak right now. So we've got people probably coming from all over the world to this event. John Schaaf, should we be doing more in South Dakota to take further precautions for this, or do you think we've done everything that we reasonably could?
Well, of course, you can mandate mask wearing, as some localities are doing, although the difficulty in enforcing such a thing at this event is problematic. Even who would do so? One thing, they're on federal property at Mount Rushmore. But I think what's going on is sort of in the spirit of how things have been handled in the state under Governor Noem's leadership. And I think, you know, what Dusty Johnson said on media the other day, on was it on Fox? He was on, or CNN. On CNN with Chris Cuomo, is that we're sort of, they're telling people there will be masks available. Use prudence. If you're really worried, don't show up. And they're leaving it to people's judgment. It'll be interesting to see if, I don't know, stage party people or, you know, people of you know, some authority, if they wear masks, would send a good signal to the crowd. Because, you know, and being outdoors is a good thing as far as spreading the virus, and it mitigates against it. And social distancing is less important if people are wearing masks. But I think at an event like this, some leadership from people in authority would probably go a long way, because, yeah, we have seen, in fact, we've in various places, you know, one of the reasons, I don't think it's the only reason, but one of the reasons that we're seeing this, some spikes nationwide in COVID, is precisely we are now probably reaping some of what we sowed in social protests over the last 4 to 6 weeks. Some of that is because people were not social distancing at political protests. We noticed in many states, like Texas and Florida, I've seen numbers. The new cases are skewing extremely young, which tells you that's who's been going out, and that's who was peopling a lot of these protests. I think COVID increases are caused by other things in addition to that. But an event like this out in Mount Rushmore, where I suspect that the age demographic will skew a little bit older, I think using masks is probably the prudent way to go.
And Congressman Johnston was very clear on CNN. He held up his mask. He said he was going to wear his. He is wearing his. And he talked about that on our show yesterday, too, that if 80% of the people were wearing masks, we could cut out 90% of the transmission at any event. Anywhere. So he was definitely exercising that messaging and talking strongly about that. We also have John Hunter, Chairman Julian Bearrunner, and President Harold Frazier. Frazier is from the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, and Bearrunner is from the Oglala Sioux Tribe, both coming out and talking about what this mountain means, the history of this mountain, how they see it. Does this play into, John Hunter, a larger conversation about the relationship between Governor Noem? Is this playing into a larger conversation about President Trump? Is this just something that it's time to sit and contemplate once again the history of this land and the sacredness of this mountain and what's been done to it?
I think, yes, it does play into bigger conversations about other things. And I would even add the kind of the George Floyd symbolism of, you know, tearing down statues and so forth of Confederates and other people who may have been involved in slavery. So I think there's that element too, and I know Dusty has been either sponsored or intends to sponsor some legislation trying to protect Mount Rushmore from that kind of destruction that's taking place. But I do think it starts to trigger it, and then Native American tribes said, oh yeah, by the way, if we're talking about this kind of stuff and the Confederacy and so forth, let's talk about this mountain and its nature and who's represented there and how it was acquired and so on. So I do think it plays into those bigger conversations, and maybe even some with Governor Noem or President Trump. All those kind of lead to this. And I think, you know, the press is willing to cover those kinds of things, too, because that's what's in the news, and it's a big deal nationwide for us. And so I would kind of expect questioning those kinds of things. Whether it, you know, it's probably short-lived, it'll probably go until the event, and then that particular, I think, protest would go away.
Yeah. John Schaff, any thoughts on that you wanted to add to what John Hunter said?
Oh, I think that that John is right. That I think that probably driving the tribal complaints about the event and their question of Mount Rushmore is driven more by recent events. I'm not discounting other things, but I think why people are adding their voice at this particular time is because we have a bevy of iconoclasm going on, the smashing of idols in various places, and this is I think what is heightening here. So it'll be interesting to see if the president himself speaks to protecting Mount Rushmore. Again, if he can do that in such a way that gives at least some respect to different perspectives, while I suspect if he does bring it up, and I would not at all be surprised if he does, that he would give a vigorous defense of this monument, which is designed to breed American patriotism and honor for people who people find have found throughout history to be quite admirable. So, though not without being able to question who those people and their histories, but we'll just see how he handles it if he ends up bringing it up, as I suspect he will.
Lori and John, and just one other quick thing about that is, you know, we haven't talked much about the symbolism of Independence Day. I saw a lot of the things that were coming out of the Rapid City events, even referred to. You know, veterans and more like Memorial Day or a Veterans mm-hmm. Day kind of thing. That, you know, we haven't really talked about the events of 1776 and so forth with this. I'm just kind of curious if that will be part of that. I mean, that's to me that'd be naturally what this event would be about. But I haven't heard anyone talk about declaring independence from Britain as part of this week.
Yeah,
the author
of the
Declaration of Independence does have a very large face on that mountain, so maybe that might come up, but we'll see.
Well, I want to express some appreciation for John, too, using the word iconoclasm. I'm going to use that much more frequently now. That's a really good one.
A bevy
so people
of
have
iconoclasm.
Their bingo
card. Dakota Political Junkies Bingo. And John Schaff, I'm getting texts already that young people are saying, hey, young people also go to bars and young people also are going to work right now. And so it's awfully hard to say that the young people, just like John said earlier, it's going to be hard to say once people leave the events at Mount Rushmore and go other places, if they are going to connect back to this event. It's kind of hard to connect some of these COVID cases back to the events of protests in Minneapolis or in Texas or in California. So people are listening, and the bingo card was, hey, young people do all kinds of things. There you go, John Schaff. All right. John Schaff and John Hunter, today's Dakota Political Junkies. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court cases coming up after a break with Mike Thompson. John Schaff, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. Always good to be on with John.
John Hunter, thanks as well.
Thanks, Lori. Take care, John.